Welcome to the Awakening Conversations podcast, where we dive into the many aspects, challenges, and life-changing lessons that are part of our spiritual awakenings. Through conversations, we are looking to bring you wisdom and perspectives so that you feel more supported and connected as you navigate your own awakening path. We are your hosts, Kate McGee and Amanda Richardson-Meyer. We've both been through our own unique awakening journeys that have changed and transformed our lives. And through these awakening conversations, we will be growing and expanding alongside you. We're so glad to have you join us. Let's dive in. Welcome back to the Awakening Conversations podcast. My name is Kate, and I'm here with my co-host, Amanda. And today we're talking about the journey of the paradigm shifter. We talk a lot about the big changes that we're going through collectively right now on the planet. And this is a paradigm shift that we are going through. We are moving out of the old paradigm into the new, which is also known as moving into the new earth. You've heard us talk about that. You've heard us talk about our missions and following our paths. But today we really, really want to focus on what it feels like to be part of the wave of people, the group of people, the collective within the collective who are actually here for building, creating, and bringing forth this paradigm shift. It's a challenge. It can be challenging. We really want to expand your understanding of what these roles are that we have within this paradigm shift to create a paradigm shift. And also, you know, the struggles that come along with going and doing things differently, being the one who lives your life in a completely different way so that we can create a paradigm shift. And, you know, what it's like when those around us might not get it, see it, understand it, and how we can really kind of come to find a place of peace within that, because your role is really so important. And for those that don't sort of get it in this moment, they're potentially, if they're still here when they're living this new paradigm, their life is going to be transformed through your efforts anyway. So it's not really that they're here to help you with it. They're here to be the recipient of what it is, the work that you're here to do. So we'll dive into that a little bit more. But Amanda, excited to unpack this conversation with you today, or this topic with you today. You know, we really are, and I keep having this experience. I've mentioned this in a few of our episodes of like, I can feel so much of the, just the kind of tearing apart and the, you know, I just get this sort of image of like a dog just going at a carcass, like ripping the flesh of the carcass. That's how it feels to me right now, like what we're going through. And as I said, I don't even read the news. I just get snippets of it from people. And yet the energetics of this change we're going through feel really, really kind of, I don't know what the word is, but just tumultuous and challenging, and like, does it feels like big chunks of things are sort of coming off and falling apart. And at times I feel quite disturbed by that feeling. It's really, you know, I think a lot of us are feeling discomfort, unstable, overwhelmed in different ways, lots coming up in us. And that is part of this paradigm shift we're going through.
Yes. And part of the ascension process is beginning to see a lot of the dark structures. And so that is creating this chaos that we're experiencing. Mm-hmm. And it's creating a lot of discomfort for people, because what people have known their whole lives is changing at a very rapid rate. And maybe they weren't ready for this, mm-hmm. all this change to happen so quickly. And if people are feeling fearful and unstable, it's like there's this like clinging to what once was, and also a mourning and a grieving, which we talked about previously, mm-hmm. for the world that they know and are longing for. And so, yeah, part of the paradigm shift is, because it is a transformation that I feel is happening so quickly, it is destabilizing for a lot of people. And because we don't know, a lot of people don't know where we're headed.
If
you don't have like a higher vision of it, can look like we're going downhill, and we're going downhill fast, and mm-hmm. not knowing that this is all part of from my perspective, part of the process.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I think too, people are becoming more and more sensitive to what we're being shown, you know. And I feel that in myself when I hear different things. You know, my parents have been visiting over the, well, my dad has now, my mom's here, and you know, they bring in their world into my world and the way that they see things and the way that they're experiencing things. And so it's interesting to observe and how what they say and the way that they share it and how they've been experiencing the changes we've been going through. It's really kind of getting in so much deeper into me of like, wow, like humanity has really, really done some horrible things to itself and to each other that we have to change. You know, it's like, it's making me feel like I feel more sensitive to that now more than ever. And I think it's part of this paradigm shift. Let's start with talking about what is a paradigm. I know that was a word for me when this started to get thrown around. I had to look it up in the dictionary. I was like, what's a paradigm? I like the sound of the word, but what does it mean? What's your understanding of paradigm?
You know, we were kind of talking about this before we got on, and the idea of an operating system is what came to mind with regards to what a paradigm is. It's basically the structure that our world is operating within. And so it has to do with our beliefs, our ways of living, the way we go about life. And so we have been operating within a paradigm that has functioned a certain way, and it has resulted in certain outcomes. And the paradigm shift is change, rewriting that operating system to have a different outcome in terms of what we experience in terms of life through changing our beliefs, changing our energy, changing the systems that we are operating within. And so the shift comes about by people questioning the old, questioning their beliefs, questioning their lives, and choosing to play their role in creating something different, and whatever role you feel called to play in that. And I would say that if you feel called to do something or live a certain way that deviates from the old operating system, I would say that you are part of the paradigm shift. You are mm-hmm. here to play a role in the paradigm, the shift that we're experiencing. And the episode that was just released is about our soul missions. And for me, I feel strongly that what I'm figuring out about why I'm here is part of what I came here to do. As a soul, I chose that. And I'm starting to believe it more and more. Just the more I learn about myself, the more I see how this plays out in, you know, what was written in the stars in terms of the astrology mm-hmm. and the human design and the gene cues, like how spot on it is, and how when I step into what those things say, mm-hmm. I feel like more of who I am, even though, and in doing that, I'm stepping away from the status quo that I really learned in my younger years to be more similar to. And we were just talking about before we got on this call about human design. And, you know, I have a lot of open centers. I only have two that are closed or defined. And so I think I absorbed a lot of my environment. And so it's been a big unlearning to begin to step into what am I here to do, and really trusting that what my path is. And so it's not been an easy journey, because it really means doing things differently than mm-hmm. most people are doing. Like mm-hmm. I look back at, you know, friends that I had in high school, and they're still like hanging out and doing things on a regular basis. And I, you know, I left early on. I felt called to leave. Like I felt that there was something that was things that I had to learn, and mm-hmm. I had to go do those things. And at times that's been lonely, and or times it's like, well, why can't I just stay there? And it's like, well, I couldn't just stay there, because I couldn't have done that. It would have felt very stifling to my soul, because I truly believe that I came here to do you know, at least figure out what it is that I'm here to do. So,
yeah. 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 And, you know, I've had those moments myself of like sitting to reflect on my choices and, you know, very much so since being in Japan, where we've had bigger dreams and wanted to do things like completely out of the box of like how we wanted to move forward in our life. And that's stressful. It's been really hard and challenging. We take big risks and sometimes you get really squeezed by that. And I can remember going into a supermarket and I saw this lady stocking the shelves with toothbrushes. And in that moment, I was like, I just want her life. I just want a job to stack toothbrushes on the shelf. And I had that moment of feeling sorry for myself. And then 2 seconds, I was like, actually, no, I don't. No.
And there's nothing wrong with stacked brushes.
No.
Right? It's just 100%. That we have, you know?
Yeah.
As
paradigm shifters, like, we're not here to just stock the shelves. Like, some of us are here to have a life where we live with our families, we stay in our own communities, and we're part of a larger community. We, you know, that is what we're here for. Our mission and our role might be to be pillars of a community or caretakers or mothers, and that's not part of it. But it was just, a contrasting moment where I wanted another life because things were hard, choosing the harder choices. And then a second later, I was like, but if you took that away from me, no, I don't want that either. I don't actually want a smaller, more simple life. I actually don't want that, you know, and I think that's a key indicator for us too. If that is part of our role, is we do have this yearning for more, for creating change, for seeing change, for maybe being part of change, for influencing it, but truly living differently. Before we go on, I wanted to sort of just paint the picture of the old paradigm and what it is we're moving out of. I know you've got a list there. Would you be able to read that, like how we can understand what the old paradigm is and what the new one really looks like?
Yeah. So the old paradigm, it looks like it's being driven by fear, separation, scarcity, and control. It's hierarchical structures and top-down authority. Productivity and achievement over presence and alignment, disconnection from the earth, intuition, and subtle energies, identity rooted in roles, status, and external validation, which it's really interesting. Like all of these have been part of my journey, having life experiences and seeing where these things were in my operating system and like starting to unpack them and releasing those energies. That's been like, it's wild to see that in a list that, you know, ChatGPT wrote for me, but I've had these experiences of all these, of being aware of how, when I was living more unconsciously, these things were running the show essentially, how I lived my life.
Yeah. I mean, even listening to you read the list, like you described my life, I was just like, yep. Like that to me feels like the first part of my life, like a lot of those feelings. Yeah. That was the structure of the life that I lived. And yeah. So what about new paradigm? What does that, is the description of that?
So the new paradigm or new earth operating system, it's rooted in love, unity, abundance, and sovereignty. Decentralized, collaborative, co-creative systems, purposeful, heart-led action aligned with inner truth, deep reverence for the earth and multidimensional connection, and identity as an evolving soul aligned with unique genius and collective upliftment.
Just love the sound of that.
Well, it's like I have felt so much more accepted, or I've accepted myself so much more by letting go of the belief that I have to fit inside of a box. The idea that I'm an evolving soul has been extremely liberating in terms of I don't need to define myself by a job. I don't need to define myself by the roles I play. Like I am many things and I'm going to be many more. I've been many things in my life and I'm going to be many more things because I'm a curious person. And and so like that has been a liberating process for me to accept that about myself, because I was trying to fit myself in a box and it felt very suffocating. I didn't feel like I knew who I was, and I didn't feel, I had trouble defining myself, but that's because I was trying to operate in this old paradigm way of seeing things. So in this episode, we are talking about paradigm shifters, and there are different archetypes for how we can play this role of paradigm shifter. And so like we offered a couple of weeks ago, we built a custom GPT to help you uncover your soul mission blueprint. For this episode, we have another custom GPT that can help you understand which different archetypes you might best fit in. And this is a fun little exercise for you to begin exploring and seeing how you are playing a part in this paradigm shift that we're going through. And if you're not familiar with ChatGPT or AI in general, we've been using it for a good amount of time now, and it's been quite transformational in terms of what we're learning about ourselves. And so we want to share that with you. And so you can go ahead and go to the link in the comments or on our website, and you can go ahead and download or access this custom GPT that will guide you through the process of understanding which archetypes are most aligned with who you are based upon your gene keys and some other questions that it's going to ask you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know why it is, but when I hear you describe the two lists, like energetically, the first list feels to me like straight lines and boxes and dark. But then when you read the words that are in this new paradigm, like they're expansive, they're open, you know, your hands are open, there's no boundaries on things. It talks about collaboration, authentic expression, and, you know, as you said, like evolving as a soul, like there's this continuous journey of movement. What was I thinking?
Well, I'll just add to what you're saying, maybe while you're thinking about it, you know, rooted in love, unity, abundance, and sovereignty. Like those are these things that are really, in the old system, they're really, I want to say, made fun of, or like those are silly things to, that's not reality, right? Like not everyone can be abundant. Not everyone can unity. That's a really nice idea. You know what I mean? So it's like, you feel kind of silly in the old paradigm for thinking that these are truths that we can make life decisions by, right? Like, you know, young people are often living more, what they say, idealistically, and operating from like, well, what does your heart say? What does your heart know? And then it's like, how many times did people have known what they want to do with their lives, but it's not practical. You can't make money doing that. So the other, like an abundance model is like, if you operate from your heart and you love something and you go all in on it, like abundance is going to come to you. And so the old system is like, there are these rules of how you can be abundant. And it's very like, you know, only a certain amount of people can be prosperous. And we need to have this amount of people that are living in poverty and scarcity. And, you know, it's this competition. We're always like, you know, the crabs in the bucket, where it's like, oh, you want to go higher? I'm going to pull you down because you're going to come back down here with me. So anyways, it's like, I feel like a lot of times people have known that when they're younger, and then they receive enough messages of like, well, that's silly. People, you know, change to operate in the real world, quote unquote.
And I think, you know, we all started in the old paradigms. What's currently breaking down. And I think essentially for those that are listening, to really help you understand, like if you have this role to be here, to like help shift this paradigm, to be the ones that are helping us move into, you know, ways of collaborating, more of that authentic expression, all of those beautiful things that Amanda listed, you have felt so unsettled and unsatisfied with that old model. It did not help you to thrive. It did not feel good. It did not, you know, you felt limited. You felt that limitation. And then potentially you've started to break away. Our awakenings are those powerful moments that give us that opportunity to see that there is more. That's when you start to step out of the old paradigm. The ascension process essentially is helping us to have more of those experiences, to experience ourselves more as these energetic beings, multidimensional beings, is another way for us to start to question, you know, what now doesn't feel like a fit because our minds and our consciousness is expanding to more. And so there's naturally this pull, and there is naturally, well, part of the ascension is a new earth coming, a new earth forming, because, you know, we've talked about this in the past. The frequency is rising on the planet. That is causing things like the old to break down, because those structures, and we as Amanda said, like, it's fear-based. Fear is a lower vibration. That is, you know, part of what I was saying before, when I was saying how I'm feeling through these changes, is I feel fear. It is the fear in me rising up to be seen, to be witnessed, to be acknowledged, to be learned and transmuted into something else for myself as I move into holding a different frequency, different energy, to create this new paradigm. I no longer let fear be the way that I'm operating. I'm moving towards love. I'm moving towards different choices. And so the sort of the in-between of the old paradigm and the new is so uncomfortable, because what's in us, and from an energetic perspective, it is the old paradigm is part of the makeup of us, who we are. It's like a matrix. It's a scaffolding, a framework that we have always operated in. But that is changing. And so we feel that internally, emotionally, physically, spiritually, mentally, as we make our shift. And so the healing journey, our healing work, learning tools to be with what comes up is what's going to free us up to, you know, become and step into, as we always keep saying, these roles we're feeling called to, but especially for those of us here to, you know, really walk forward this paradigm shift, to be the examples, the role models, the way showers. We're going to talk about other roles that you can have and other ways to think about what your particular path might be within this. But, you know, permission, and this is for as much for myself as well, to be in the discomfort as well, because it is the old breaking down in us so that the new can come through. And that does take time.
Yeah. And I just want to speak to, you know, something that I've worked on through my journey, and is this idea that, or the struggle that can come with taking this path and letting go of needing others to see things how we see things, or accepting that not everyone is meant to see what we see or play the role that we're playing, and recognizing that we all play a role in this paradigm shift, whether we are paradigm shifters or we're living a status quo life, or we are talked about before, maybe people who are exiting the planet, like, and taking dense energy with them. Like, we're all playing, like, everyone here is part of this process. And I think part of those that are taking a different path is letting go of the need or the desire to pull people with us, because, you know, if we just focus on what's coming up for us, what's in front of us, we are we're impacting others. And so we don't have to necessarily focus on them and what they're looking at and how they're seeing things. If we are looking down at what is in front of us and, like, what is on our plate, and that can be freeing, because, you know, a lot of us are the black sheep of the family. Mm-hmm. You know, we are here, we've charted our own path. People don't understand us. And I don't know, for myself, I unconsciously felt the need to have people understand my family, to extended family, to understand me. And mm-hmm. that's been quite liberating to recognize that I can love them and mm-hmm. they can see the world how they see things. Like, right now, mm-hmm. There's multiple realities that people are experiencing, and I don't have to let how they're seeing the world stop me from doing what I'm like. If I'm getting triggered by that, I'm not doing my work and what I'm here to do. And so I think that's just part of the process, the journey of coming to peace with the different roles. Like, we all are playing different roles in this journey, and being okay with whatever yours is, and not mm-hmm. needing others to match you in what they're doing.
Yeah. I mean, and that really frees you up to take the steps you have to take, because if you're waiting for others to accept it and be okay with it, you know, you're just delaying the work you're here to do and the path you're here to walk. And before we jumped on this call, we were talking about Jesus, of all things. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, if we want to talk about paradigm shifter, he's an incredible example of someone who at a time was someone who trusted the call that he had or knew his what he was here to do. He embodied that mission, that path fully. And as you said, you know, while he was sharing what he was sharing, some resonated, some didn't, right? And so, you know, big part of what you said there too is for us, when we accept that not everyone's going to come with us or understand it, but we commit to that path and we know it now, so heart and soul, and we really do take those steps forward, people will resonate with it. Just like Jesus, he did have followers, you know, that they felt aligned with his message. They'll feel aligned with ours. I also saw that as you said that, you know, us being in that authentic expression, following the path we're here to follow, doing the work we're here to do, you know, it impacts the people who it impacts. They then see that as the example, like it's the way shower is another word that you'll hear, you know, is talked about as a role. And I mean, that gives them the opportunity to live differently. So down the line, they influence a circle of people as well. And so when I think about the people in our immediate environment, it might take 10 degrees of separation from us through our impact to come back to them for someone in their circle of influence to be someone for them. You know, maybe we're too close to impact them. Who knows? Maybe not at all. But never underestimate the power that you have for that to ripple out, to come back and be part of something bigger. I think that's what's really important in what you said there about not needing to have others understand it or be convinced by it or even get it or like it. You know, some people aren't here to open their minds to new things, but that should not deter you in that path at all.
Yeah. I mean, the impact that Jesus has had has been exponential in its effect, right? And that really demonstrates the quantum potential, very small acts that we do.
Yeah.
We have no idea what the outcome is going to be. So expecting immediate feedback is not always we're not going to receive it. So I think learning to trust when we feel called to do something or what our work is, and just doing it regardless of what we see immediately as a result of it, we don't know what the outcome is going to be further down the road, or, you know, a different space and a different place in time and, you know, different location. You know, we're able to impact each other so much more quickly than we used to due to technology. And so, and the ripple effect is very real, right? Like we smile at someone as we're walking down the street, and that changes how their day, how they relate to another person. And we don't get to see what the ripple is, but just knowing that by living how we feel called to live and in greater alignment and from greater place of love and acceptance, we are just making an impact with how we are on a day-to-day basis. And then another thing I wanted to say was, you know, we're going to talk about some different archetypes in terms of paradigm shifters, but the one that popped into my head is the seed planter. And I feel like I've been doing that a lot lately, where maybe there are some people that I'm around who I don't know whether they are or not. I don't think they're aware of these concepts at all. Or I don't imagine that they are, but I'll just say something that might plant a seed. And I think my old self would have been afraid to say something like that, because I might have been looked at as the weird one. But I think that recognizing that I am here to influence consciousness. Mm-hmm. And so the more, you know, like in marketing, the more exposures someone has to something, the more they're open to it, the more normalized it is. And so if I just speak about something like it's matter of fact and it's normal, the more that might create a curiosity. And I might not see that curiosity the result of that curiosity, but I can, when I feel called, when the moment presents itself, so I can say something that acts as a seed, mm-hmm. and without any attachment to how, what the outcome of that, that statement is or question.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. I want to also say too, you know, coming back to Jesus, like I said there, you know, you can have this positive ripple effect. He also triggered a lot of people, you know, a lot of people triggered him and then wanted to crucify him for that. And, you know, we talked about this too before, is he, Jesus's story is something I think, you know, to take away religion or the, what we've come to know him through and just look at his life and his story and, you know, the time that he lived, that how much that has influenced our own fears around our authentic expression, because he was crucified for being so different, for speaking these things about, you know, love and God and, you know, really our connection to who we truly are. And that's in us, you know, it's almost like inherited trauma, you know, that we have these fears of being crucified. Like, it's such a great way to describe it. Like, if we got to the heart of it, you know, we don't, we have a fear of being seen, or it's a fear of death, as you always say, you know, our fear of dying for putting ourselves out there. And so that can be a real experience of, you know, walking this path, feeling you have a greater role, is the fear of what outside, you know, really using your voice, taking a platform, stepping out there so differently, living your life in a different way, especially I think when it comes to how we've been saying here, where, you know, maybe our immediate family, people close to us don't get us, or don't get it, don't understand it, can't, you know, maybe give you a hard time about making those choices. That can be really hard. But again, it's coming back to remember that you don't need to have anyone else understand your unique path. If it feels aligned and true for you, that's the most important thing, and that your example is powerful. You know, whether someone will come through a full circle moment with that in this lifetime or not, you know, it's still leaving an impression and an imprint that people can't unsee.
Yeah. And also, I think, you know, Jesus was the front man, but he also had, people that did had his back and followed him, and which I'm sure helped him. And so there's something to be said about finding people that are on, that you think this way, that realize that they're here to be part of something, whether they phrase it this way or not, they are somewhat mission driven in their life, and they are making an impact through living differently, through shifting how people live their lives, right? They're taking their own, you know, I always thought about it when we moved abroad, as the visual that I had was, and also with regard to moving abroad and also with parenting, it's like there are these well-worn ruts in the path of life, and we can take the well-worn path that's been created for us. We follow, there's a rule book. A lot of people have taken this path before, and we will, you know, it'll tell us how to live, or it will tell us how to go. And we're not going to come off with as if we follow the rules, we're going to have an easier life, right? We're going we'll have a safe life. But there are some of us that feel called to take an uncharted path. And that's scary also, because, like, I'll just say for parenting, it's like, if you mess up your kids by following the rules, well, that wasn't your fault because you were following the rules. But if you deviate from the path and you mess up your kids, quote unquote, like, that's on you. And so that's a lot of responsibility. And so the whole concept of sovereignty, right, that comes into, like, learning to be self-responsible human beings. And, you know, that has to do with, like, not being a victim in our lives and being creators. And so that can be scary, to go off the charted path and not follow the rule book. But yeah, so I think that, you know, I think for those that maybe, you know, they have an awakening where they realize, like, oh, I'm not, you know, I've been living this kind of status quo life, and there's something that's calling me, and maybe it's not termed in, you know, I'm a paradigm shifter by living this way, but ultimately that's what one is when they decide to step out of the status quo because they see, oh, it's not working. It's not serving me. It's not, doesn't feel aligned. I don't feel enlivened and fulfilled in life. And yeah. I'm going to start making my, and for me, like, it was this process of beginning to trust myself, like reawakening my intuition, my trust mm-hmm. in myself. And mm-hmm. I think that is so trained out of us through schooling, through conditioning to not trust mm-hmm. ourselves, you know, look to the doctors, look to the authority, yep. look to the politicians. And yep. we really have to start re-cultivating this relationship with our own inner compass that it works really well when it is developed and yeah. we have experience of, like, you know, what is my intuition on this situation? Okay, you read your intuition, you do a certain action and maybe it works out great. And then maybe you have intuition and you don't follow it and then it doesn't work out great. It's this learning process that we have to go through again mm-hmm. that becomes dormant when we're on that rutted path that mm-hmm. has, we don't have to trust ourselves. We can just read the rule book and we don't have to look inside for answers. And so that's, absolutely. I think, part of the process of going our own ways in life.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, even as you say, like that worn path, it, to me, that is the old paradigm playbook. Like live like this. And, you know, we've had this conversation before. It's like go to school, go to high school, go to university, get a degree, buy a house, have kids, you know, retire at 65, maybe hopefully still have your health and, you know, and again, nothing wrong with that because you can have a full and amazing life following that path. But at the same time, that is, you know, there is so much in there where people are, what we're seeing as it's falling, this old playbook is falling apart, is it doesn't actually serve people financially, their health, their happiness, their, you know, level of joy, connection, all of it. It's unfortunately, you know, even when I think about how expensive things are getting, everything's kind of like just, it's stretched to its maximum capacity. People are stretched. You know, we can live a happy and joyful life, but there's still so much pressure and so much that's not working that is what this shift is about and this change is about, that we can have, you know, greater health, greater love, greater connection by choosing different ways to live. And the big part about the new paradigm and creating one is self-responsibility. It's such an important word. And I think about even my life, like I haven't lived in my own home country for almost 17 years. It's been abroad. It's been changing jobs all the time. It's been figuring it out, doing this, doing that to create a different life that felt like the one for me. And it is all on me. Like it's not getting handed to me. You've got to take the steps. You've got to commit to the action. You've got to learn through the ups and downs. Sometimes it's easy. Sometimes it's hard. There's great times and there's really challenging times, but that's what it is to live a life that is literally cutting down the trees as you go to create that new path. And, you know, again, we're putting new grooves or paths through that forest or that unknown section of life that we can live in these different ways if we feel so called to. And what I found by following this new path is that the desires I have isn't just solely about what my life is going to look like. It is driven towards how we can all have, you know, that better life. And so it's so that new paradigm really resonates with me because they are the things that as I've forged this different path, I feel called more and more to. It is collaboration. It is community. It is my own journey to live in a different way has led me to, you know, understand who we are as humans because I haven't lived in the same place my whole life. I've seen different cultures. I've lived in different environments where I had to consider life in completely different ways and see that even though they speak a language I don't understand and they look completely different to me, we're still humans. We're all just human. Those things like religion and culture really just are concepts, ideas. You know, underneath this skin, we all have the same flesh and bone. And with even language barriers, we can still communicate and have connection because love is what connects you. You don't need to actually be able to speak to somebody. It's an energetic experience of another person. But yeah, that's what I'll say. Self-responsibility and that taking that path is, I think, what really turns on, you know, that new paradigm desire. is what I'm trying to get to, I think, is those things feel so aligned because as I've wandered out here, like there's the bigger things that I want for my life. And that's how I know for myself and potentially anyone listening, you know, if you feel those things when, as Amanda read them in that list, they're like, yes, that's what my heart wants, then maybe it's the bigger question of like, well, what's my role in that? You know, am I ready to move out of my town? Is it time for me to consider moving into another state? Is it time for me to move into another country? You know, where am I being asked to act? What am I being asked to do? Because we are showing the way of, you know, making this shift where more and more of us get to experience a sense of, I believe, connection, meaning, peace, harmony, prosperity, abundance, as you said, and that we have to go first. We're the ones going first. We're the modern day Jesus's,
right, Jesus, quote unquote. The Christ consciousness is not coming through just one person. There's not going to be a Messiah. Yeah.
No.
From my perspective, we're all learning to embody energy and aspects of that sovereignty, of that love, of that unity, that abundance, right? That we all can step into. And so, we're meant to, you know, we are going on our own. We have our own unique paths, but we're also meant to connect with those that are aligned because we're meant to collaborate. We're not meant to build it alone. We're meant to learn how to, like, we're meant to learn how to work together, which, you know, in a lot of societies, it's, you know, in the old paradigm, it's top down, it's hierarchical. It's built upon competition and, you know, it's a zero sum game. Whereas if I have more, you have less versus if I have more, you can have more too. And so it's relearning. And so we relearn that through working with people in new ways. And I think a lot of us have to learn that because how do we, the old paradigm is a power struggle a lot of times versus when two people are both sovereign and they're in their own power. They have their own boundaries and they can come into each other's orbits without trying to dominate the other. And I think that's a relearning, whether we realize it or not, there are subtle ways of power struggles that, you know, a lot of people aren't aware of. And so there's a relearning, I think, that people go through that, you know, we're going through right now. And how do we collaborate? And then how do we model that for other people in terms of how do we have collaborations that are built upon trust and honoring each person's gifts and what they bring to the table. And I think from the old model, and this goes back to the school model, it's like, we're just trying to make people, you know, cultivate children that are all the same. They learn all the same things. And it's like, well, then how are we cultivating humans that can play different roles if we're just putting them on a singular pipeline of what it means to learn, what it means to be successful. And so, it's like reawakening our gifts. You know, we talk about it quite often in terms of the gene keys in our astrology and our human design. And it's what are your gifts? Because a lot of times our gifts are shut down through the conditioning, the paradigm that's trying to make us all similar and diminish our uniqueness. And so it's a relearning of what do I have to contribute to this game of life, and being okay with what we're not good at, and honoring what, you know, like really knowing like, oh, I'm really good at this, and I'm going to fully embrace it. I'm going to fully step into it. I'm going to fully value it and recognize that we can get paid. You know, I think the new earth economy is realizing that we all have something of value to offer, and we can get paid for all sorts of things that in the old model was not valued and not honored. And so, I think it's getting to know ourselves and then getting to know how we fit into the larger story of this world and what we're doing. And So yeah, there's a lot of pieces to it. Do we want to go through the different archetypes that we had for the paradigm shifters?
Yes.
So I'm going to go through a list with some of the characteristics of these different archetypes. And there's different terms that have been used for some of these archetypes. So maybe you've heard of these, but it might not be the exact same verbiage, but this is what we're going to go with here and see what you resonate with. Realize that you might embody more than one of these. And so the first one I mentioned already is the seed planter. So the seed planter is someone who brings in new ideas, frequencies, and blueprints, often ahead of their time and misunderstood. Maybe Jesus might fit that. Mm-hmm. Maybe he might fit a lot of these. But we'll see. Doesn't always stay to see the harvest, just sows the truth. So yeah, Jesus did not have a long life, yet he had a very impactful one, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Next one, the bridge walker. So moves between worlds, the old and new, mainstream and fringe. Translates energy, ideas, and concepts into language people can understand. Helps others cross into new ways of being. So I think probably, you know, those that are going first on the path and kind of charting a path, they're showing others like, hey, you can come this way. And people start to realize, oh, maybe I could live that way too.
Yeah.
The grid holder anchors energy in certain places, community, or timelines, often guided by intuition or synchronicity to be in the right place, grounds the shift through presence rather than action. Mm-hmm. So the idea that we can just, by just being in a place that we feel called to be in, we can be influencing this paradigm shift. That's pretty powerful to realize, like, you know, maybe we don't need to do anything. Like, and we are being impactful in ways that we might not realize. So
And I'll just say to that, like, it's potentially the energy you're bringing to that space, because, you know, you've maybe done your work, you hold a certain frequency, and so that has powerful influence on the environment that you're in,
and vice versa. It could also not alternatively, but in addition to that, place can be allowing us to live at a frequency that, like, for, I know for myself, I can't live at the same frequency in the United States as I can outside of the United States. So it allows us to hold a frequency that allows us to live in a way that's shifting the paradigm as well. Mm-hmm. So I think it's probably both. The fourth one is the shadow alchemist. So the shadow alchemist faces and transmutes collective trauma, fear, and distortion. Their life often mirrors deeper systemic patterns, clears energetic debris so others can walk with more light. Oh. So what comes up to me is, like, what you've been sharing in terms of feeling this collective energy, you know, that we can sense it, we can feel it, we can clear it, we can do things to influence it. The visionary architect, so they see the long game, design systems, models, and paradigms for the new world. Often thinks in future timelines, sometimes struggles with grounding, needs co-creators to bring vision into form. And then the sacred disruptor, they challenge the norms, refuses to conform, speaks inconvenient truths that catalyze awakenings, doesn't do well with bureaucracy or spiritual bypassing.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, continue.
Okay. The weaver. They connect people, ideas, disciplines. They create communities, resonance, and movement. And they hold space for others to activate. And go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, there's more people. There's more. Continue. There's
one more.
One more. Okay.
The embodying mirror. So they simply, by simply being themselves, they challenge the status quo. They walk their talk. They radiate alignment. And they remind others what's possible through presence. So which of those do you resonate with?
Yeah. Well, first I want to say, I feel like I know people that embody those. And I feel like I've got those people in my life. I feel like, I think seed planter, I feel like, you know, that I'm learning to allow myself to have that role. I think I've already done it in my life. And that comes reflected back to me where, even just the other day, someone said, oh, when you said this to me 5 years ago, and it's still something that, you know, comes up every day. And I'm like, oh, that's so interesting. Or someone, I heard your voice in my head, and something I told them ages ago. So, you know, I think that's definitely one of them. And maybe, as you said, the shadow alchemist there, I think part of my own design, as in my gene key, is my life's work is the gene key of 47, which is shadow of self-oppression into transmutation into the city of transfiguration. So knowing what it's like to, you know, live in the shadow of our inner world, the self-oppression, how I can transmute that into seeing that that's a gift, that is a doorway to me knowing the deep parts of myself. And then ultimately the highest expression of that is, I can never remember how to describe it, but, you know, we rise above all of that and we just know ourselves as divine beings. And so I think I have an ability to understand and feel the oppression part. And I guess I learned how to hold it myself. So I'd say I resonated with that one as well. What about you?
Well, I feel parts of all of them to some degree. Well, ChatGPT said that they see the visionary architect with threads of Bridgewalker, Weaver, and Shadow Alchemist. But I mean, the embodying mirror, I feel the part of me, I'm like, I'm meant to live differently and to show others like what that looks like.
Yeah, I resonate with that one as well.
Yeah. And so I feel like sometimes these categories they're not discrete. And I imagine there are aspects of you in all of these too.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, the grid holder, like we both have felt called to specific places.
Yeah.
And the energy has been very specific in that particular time in our lives. And so, in that regards, like I feel their place has played a very important role in my journey.
Yes.
So, I can't narrow it down, but, but it's nice to like see all these terms because it's like sometimes, like I said, I'm the seed planter,
and
you know, I am moving in between the worlds, like the bridge walker.
Yeah,
like
100%.
You know, I'm listening to people. Living in the old paradigm, learning like how, you know, I'm planting seeds. I'm doing both. Right. Mm-hmm. So,
I think you're great for, you know, stepping onto the fringe and bringing in the information to share as well. So I definitely say that you're that one, because that's what I love about some of our conversations is you'll take what you see in the world and you'll contemplate it and you'll go out into space, gather some ideas, come back, expand it. And, you know, and like consider how differently you're going to live because of that. Like you're in that sense, I can't remember what the description of the Weaver was, but you know, you're bringing all of that wisdom into a different way of living and being.
Yeah, it was the Weaver. So yeah, connecting people, ideas, and disciplines, right? So
yeah,
it's like I think taking a little bit, you know, the sacred disruptor, like challenging norms and, you know, calling out the school system a little bit. I'm not an extreme disruptor, I wouldn't say.
Yeah.
I would say, and you know, both of our lives are challenging the norms, right?
Yes. Yeah.
I don't know, like I feel just the act of leaving the country was triggering to people in certain ways, you know, so because then it's like it allows people to question like, how am I living? And then we can come back and reflect like, I think what I wanted to say to something you said earlier, it was, we go this other path because we feel called to do it, but then, like you said, like you feel called to share it, to make this impact because we've lived in both worlds, right? Mm-hmm. We've experienced what life is like and we see people struggling. It's, you know, if people are truly happy and fulfilled, then great. However, I think a lot of people just don't realize that there are other ways of doing things. They just feel a little bit stuck in the paradigm that they find themselves in. And so, mirroring back what else is
possible.
That, you know, if we don't see other ways of living, you know, I imagine for you as well, but I'm doing what I'm doing because I saw other people, you know, doing something different. And
yeah,
my path has gone its own way, but it has been inspired and influenced by Absolutely. Other people, you know, leaving the status quo and choosing something differently. So we're all kind of playing that role for each other.
Yeah.
You know, someone did it for us and then we've done it for someone else as well.
Yeah, exactly. Because new and unknown is difficult to face without that example. And for me, it was literally, I read a book, I remember, where it was about expat lives overseas, and I was like, I want to be an expat. I want to live overseas. I was just, that's what I wanted to do. And even when I left school, I wanted to live abroad. And then it's like, oh, you should go to uni first. Oh, okay, I'll go to uni. And it lasted like 3 months and then packed my bags and went traveling. But yeah, you know, and it is. And I think we know it. We've got the call. We just got to listen. And it's okay if you've had a life where you did follow the playbook and, you know, because you were influenced to or told that was the better option to do, you know, those dreams were kind of fanciful or whatever. And yet if you're in this moment feeling like you're being called to something bigger, something changed, something radical to overhaul your life, that's scary, I know. And it's challenging to do. And like, as we've said, like to move abroad is a big thing and it is hard. Don't worry. You adjust, you meet people, you find people. It changes you. You have to show up for that change, but you ultimately stepping into that version of you who can be the one who can live abroad. You know, you become that person. So many people used to ask me like, how do you do it? How do you just pack your bag and go? Well, you get the suitcase out, you put the clothes in, you buy the ticket, you get on the plane and you turn up and you're like, oh, I've got to find somewhere to live. You book a hotel for a week and you get out the like computer, where can I live? You just take the steps.
It's,
you know,
so simple, but it's not so simple when there's so much fear.
Yes.
Right. No, like, no, yes. Right. No, but it truly is. And it, you know, it doesn't have to look like leaving a country either. No. Like it could be changing your job or it can look like a whole many different things, parenting your children differently, operating with money differently, redefining what success means for you. Like oftentimes there is like one thing that is the gateway into realizing this is all connected. Health, money, it could be in health, right? Like all these, the big categories of our life, there are status quo ways of doing things and there's out of the box ways of doing things. And a lot of times one thing is the gateway and then it opens you up to all different ways of doing things, parenting, schooling, et cetera.
Yeah.
And so just start with maybe the one that feels easy to you.
Yeah.
Or one that's the most exciting.
Yeah. The one that's really calling you, because that's your doorway. That's your doorway. And trust it. Trust yourself. Even if you don't know how, you don't need to know the how, you just have to trust that you'll figure it out and you'll figure it out. There are steps to take when you allow yourself to feel the fear, because yes, it's kind of crazy maybe and challenging to leave a job or take kids out of school or whatever it is, or, you know, not even give them iPads to be completely different to other parents, right? Like if that feels like something that you really want for your family or yourself, yes, people are going to think what people are going to think. That doesn't matter. You're following your truth. You're living the life that is, you're here to come. You've come here to live, to show an example of how things can be different and how that's going to impact the people that you love by you leading yourself in that way and living life in that way. You know, it takes each one of us lining to that truth, taking the brave step to follow it, that we carve this new path, that we start to build this new paradigm, that we shift the way we think about how things can be done. And exactly, it's step by step, brick by brick, brick by brick, that we start to create whole new paradigms of schooling, parenting, living, working, health, etc. So yeah, exactly. Start where you feel called. What is that zone? And then, you know, feel how that changes your life. Like what that, like you said, it's just a gateway. It opens the door to more. And that is the shift in you, where you start to create that new paradigm within you, where you feel called to that more. You start to really know your purpose and your path. And, you know, it's like when you say yes to that thing, more information comes. You know, it's like turning on the tap.
Yeah, and it really is brick by brick, and it's really just starting to question how you're doing things and why you're doing things and what feels true to you and what doesn't feel true to you. And when you start like, oh, I've been doing it this way because that's what I believed that I was, how I was supposed to do things, but that doesn't feel right. So I'm going to do it this way. And then once you do that with one thing, it's like the whole saying of like, how you do one thing is how you do everything. And so once you see that, oh, I questioned, I chose something different. My family thought I was weird, but I'm fairly happy with that choice. And then, okay, what else in my life am I doing that doesn't feel true to me? Doesn't feel like it's working. I made the change here. Okay. That feels scary, but I did it there and it worked out. I can do it here too. Yeah. And literally that's how, when you see someone who's living a life that like, that life is so different from, I mean, you know, you and your husband, you've lived in multiple countries. You owned a hotel in a little ski town in Japan. That is a very unique life, right? Like, and you're not done. You have more plans on the horizon, but you didn't get there overnight, right? Yeah. Like you got there one decision at a time, starting to question all the aspects of how you do life. And little by little, you start to create a life that is true to you, true to, you know, you start to really understand who you are and can make the choices that feel much more aligned with who you are. Yeah. And all of a sudden you're living a life. You're like, wow, how did I get here? And it's, you made one, you know, here's the rutted path, but you just made one choice that you started going in this direction. And then you made another choice. And then, and then, you know, most people are over here and now you're all the way over here because of the incremental small choices that you've made over time by following what feels true to you versus following what society conditioning tells you how to live your life.
Yeah, 100%. It's that one degree at a time. I think that was David Hawkins that said that, you know, that one degree at a time over time becomes several degrees of change. And I'll say, you know, again, too, if you're the one to go first in your family, community, it's okay. Your joy from your choices is a powerful example that could unlock for others as well. So it's okay to be the one to go first, to stand alone for some time, because you in your joy and you in your authenticity changes how people see you and view you. It changes the people that come into your life. It changes the experiences of your life. Be patient. You know, it's a path we have to trust in. And the more you trust in it, like the more it gets revealed to you, the more things come in, you find the people that resonate and, you know, they inspire you to be even braver. And it's a beautiful journey to walk if you feel so cold.
Totally. Yes. Yeah. No. And I mean, I couldn't have planned that I'd be having a podcast with someone I've never met in real life that lives in Japan. Well, I live in Mexico, right? Like this is not the plan that this is not part of the story that I saw, but it is aligned with the vision that I had for myself, challenging myself by speaking more, by exploring topics and being in connection with aligned people that, you know, we resonate, right? And so you don't know, life has exciting, you know, there's a lot of exciting things in store for you when you live this way.
Well, Amanda, great conversation. Really inspired by what we shared today. And for those that are listening, we'd love to hear your thoughts on the paradigm shift, what you feel called to. Did you recognize yourself in any of those archetypes? Do you recognize yourself in several? We'd love to hear your thoughts, comments, feedback. So please do leave those wherever you're listening.
And make sure to download the custom GPT that we talked about at the beginning of the episode, where you can figure out which types of paradigm shifters most resonate with who you are. And you can kind of begin to explore that
and lean into it some more. I think it's one of those things that helps you understand yourself and have the courage again, once again, to be like, okay, how can I bring more of this into my life? And what does that feel like? I think that's, you know, part of the puzzle piece. It's a beautiful experience. Well, thank you, Amanda. Great conversation.
Thank you. It was good.
Yeah. And thank you everyone for listening. We'll join you in the next episode.
Thank you so much for tuning in to today's episode. If you haven't already, please do subscribe to your favorite podcast platform or to our YouTube channel so that you can be notified when new episodes are released. be sure to head to our website, theawakeningconversations.com, for the resources mentioned in this episode. Here, you can also leave your questions, comments, or feedback so we can create more episodes that you love. And if you'd like to be a guest to share your own awakening journey with our listeners, or you have a business or offering that supports others going through their awakenings, head to our website, theawakeningconversations.com, and click on Be a Guest, and we'll be in touch. Until next time, take care.